answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There's been many defections from the Iranian military's officers, various police. They've come out publicly in the underground metro, and they've unveiled Iran's traditional lion and sun flag, proclaiming their allegiance to the people. Defecting essentially from the regime, and those two officials have been arrested by the regime. But subsequent to that, we're seeing a number of military and police officials that are posting defection notices on social media.
That is an American journalist covering Iran. Those defections, are they posting on social media? You heard him say a couple of them have already been arrested. They will disappear. They knew that when they started posting those. They knew when they started talking about defecting from the Iranian regime as it exists. They were putting their heads on the chopping block and their families. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State and also CIA director, has a piece out that we're going to get into in more detail a little bit later that he believes the Iranian regime is crumbling. What could happen next? What do we need to know about it? And how will the U.S. play a role in what comes after that? Or should we? The Iranian people have made it very clear they don't like what they're dealing with. They made their preference, according to Pompeo, abundantly clear, repeated waves of uprising. They do not want a theocracy or monarchy. They want a republic, free, democrat, accountable to the citizens. Sounds like the USA. Thank you for joining us. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, December 19, 2025. And with every broadcast of Larry Connors, USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have when we began that hour. I'll make sure of it. And reminding you, when we're on the air right now, you can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors, USA, Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, audio and video, at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. In our next hour, Elon Musk on Soros, George Soros, and how he uses and weaponizes NGOs. NGOs, non-government organizations, supposedly. And Soros knows how to use fraud and crime syndicates inside the NGO, basically. Well, that's coming up in the next hour. Plus, talking poker with a poker villain I've faced before, known as Bad Hat Kenny Peel. Yeah, that'll be a fun time coming up in the next hour. And later on this hour, our story behind the story today, Captain Kangaroo. And many of you probably remember him, watched him. Others are, who's Captain Kangaroo? Well, you're going to learn. But some of the things we have for you today. Even if you watched Captain Kangaroo in those early days, you did not know some of the things he was doing behind the scenes. That's our story behind the story coming up later in this hour. So back to the issue with Iran. This journalist in Iran, American journalist, says they have been facing a severe water shortage to the extent that people might be dying of thirst.
26 years of neglect and just incompetence. The regime has left the majority of the country, especially the capital of Tehran, without water. The aquifers are basically empty. They haven't invested in any of the water infrastructure. There's been no effort to recycle, reclaim any kind of water. They've let the whole system deteriorate for the last 26 years. And the population in Iran nearly 50 years ago was 30 million. Today, it's 90 million.
Wow.
And not a penny has been invested in water and water infrastructure. And there have been many, many years of drought. And now it's gotten to the point where people don't have water. And the regime's president came out recently and said, well, if this continues, we're going to have to evacuate the capital city of Tehran. What kind of government says that?
The one that has been ignoring the citizens, putting money into building nuclear weapons, not giving the people what they need just for survival. Water, obviously, a vital need. But they have not bothered. They've not bothered because they don't care about their people. And the Iranian citizens are recognizing this. They've known it for some time, but going up against the mullahs and starting an uprising, you are basically asking for a bullet in the head for you and your family. I got a guest coming up later. We're going to discuss with him in more detail as to what is happening inside Iran and this particular water shortage. But here comes to the rescue. Ironically, the mullahs have been wanting to build nuclear weapons to destroy the little Satan that would be Israel, and eventually the big Satan that would be the USA. But speaking of Israel, Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, says, we know the severe issues the Iranian people are facing when it comes to water. And my nation is willing to step in and help you.
To live like this is not fair to you. It's not fair to your children. But I have very good news. Israel is the number one recycler of water in the world. We recycle 90% of our wastewater, and we lead the world in desalination. We know exactly what to do, so Iran can also have plentiful water. Almost a decade ago, I opened a Telegram channel in Farsi to teach water management to Iranians. 100,000 Iranians joined almost instantly. The thirst for water in Iran is only matched by the thirst for freedom. So here's the great news. The moment your country is free, Israel's top water experts will flood into every Iranian city, bringing cutting-edge technology and know-how. We will help Iran recycle water. We'll help Iran desalinate water.
That statement made by Netanyahu a couple of months ago, and that has certainly circulated inside Iran among the Iranians. We are so intent to the mullahs and the regime to destroy Israel, and Israel is offering a hand to help us survive. They see through that. By the way, the Israeli officials are now investigating a possible Iranian connection to the murder of that senior MIT nuclear scientist and, of course, killing the students at Brown University. That professor that was killed had at one time worked with the Portuguese man who's accused of killing him and shooting and killing two students at Brown University and wounding others. At one time, the professor had said it's not hyperbole to say MIT is where you go to find solutions to humanity's biggest problems. Fusion is a hard problem that can be solved with resolve and ingenuity. That's what he said in 2024. So the question is, did Iran send a hit team or using this Portuguese national and have him go and assassinate? This would be a terrorist act, if that's true. Going after the professor and shooting up the campus at Brown University. Israel wants some answers. In the meantime, the way it's been handled by the police at Brown University and the town, the Providence police, it's been kind of all over the board. They did announce last night the shooter was a Portuguese national. They say they found him dead in a storage unit area. Now, I've got another question here. They say they found him dead, and they want to say it was suicide. Was it? Or did somebody, if there was an Iranian plot to carry this out, decide we need to eliminate him? I'm asking. I don't know, but it's a legitimate question. And we're not getting anything really from the Providence police. They continue to say, we'll do good work, public assistance, good old-fashioned policing. Look, I know that police work is not solved within an hour like on the TV shows. I don't expect that. But they had a lot of information that they were never sharing. They released a video of the guy walking around that was a suspect. I give them credit for that because the FBI under Joe Biden did not release a video of the bombing suspect for J6. until recently, and that was under the Trump regime. But again, they're saying that the guy that they say was a shooter found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Really? By the way, he had been given a green card, and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said, we're going to instruct the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services to pause the visa program following President Trump's direction. This individual should never have been allowed into our country. And in 2017, President Trump sought to end this program. So that's going to be reviewed. Good. Oh, by the way, out of Australia, shouldn't say by the way, this is shocking and yet unbelievable. The Australian Prime Minister making it clear that they're going to carry out a forced buyback scheme, a forced gun buyback program. He says we will confiscate and destroy hundreds of thousands of firearms in the hands of our Aussie citizens. They did this once before after a 1996 Port Arthur shooting. That was mandatory. They had something like 700,000 guns during that buyback time. But now they say we're going to do it again. Good luck in Aussie land. More evidence of the massive fraud in Minnesota. The Somalia community is obviously at the center of the scam.
I spoke in the fall about the iceberg I saw ahead. Something's fraud that's much larger than what's been visible to the public. When I said that, it wasn't hyperbole or rhetoric. It was a warning. And today I want to talk and I want to show here a sense of what that iceberg looks like, because I think people deserve to know what that is and how big this problem is, because we can't solve the problem until we grapple with the size of it. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services pulled the claims data for these 14 programs dating back to 2018. And those 14 programs in Minnesota have cost $18 billion since 2018 and more than $3.5 billion in 2024 alone.
That is a deputy U.S. assistant attorney talking about the fraud taking place in Minnesota. That would be a portion of Minnesota represented by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Somalia native, now U.S. citizen and a member of Congress. And she is coming forward to defend the Meals Act, despite it being tied to massive Minnesota fraud. She wants to come forward and say, I have no regrets about supporting this program during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's all linked to Minnesota's alleged $250 million Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. Now, when she was asked, do you regret pushing for that bill, the Meals Act? Do you think it led to the fraud? Absolutely not, she said. It did help feed kids. It might well have done that, but it also fed a lot of the grifters and the scammers. And probably whatever money went to them did not go to the kids, obviously. And money they could have used did not get to the kids. Here's where the Democrats like to dance around and parade. Look what we're doing. We're feeding the hungry, the children. But you're also feeding. You're also feeding the greedy, the criminal. And if you're going to do that, that's additional money you could use for the kids. But that's okay if you can present yourself as a savior for the children. And that's what they tend to do. White House spokesman Stephen Miller says this grift in the Somalia community is so widespread.
The Somali community has been engaged in massive, endemic, systematic fraud against the American taxpayer for years. We're going to discover ultimately, and we are in the throes right now of a full-throated, all-hands-on-deck federal investigation, is that the scope, scale, size, and sheer magnitude of the fraud eclipses anybody's worst nightmare.
Yeah. And according to some of the details behind the scheme, it exploited our U.S. Department of Agriculture's decision to waive many of the standard requirements for the Federal Child Nutrition Program during the pandemic. They waived them. You waived them. You opened the door. You opened the door for them to come in and steal, literally taking food from the babies. But, of course, some food got to them. But more of it went to those who are wanting to enrich themselves via fraud, scamming, and they did it. But again, the U.S. Department of Agriculture waived standard requirements to allow the federal child nutrition program during the pandemic to get more effort and money and food to kids, especially in non-school-based distributors, to participate, which brings us to NGOs, which we'll get to later. Non-government organizations basically created for fraud. Elon Musk had a discussion with Joe Rogan on his program about that very thing, and he pointed out one of the biggest NGO scam backers is George Soros. No surprise there. No surprise. In the meantime, the nation of Hungary is criminalizing NGOs. They're not going to allow them anymore because they know they're basically funnels to rape the money from the people and fill the pockets of the grifters. Back to the issue at Somalia itself. A White House spokesman, Stephen Miller.
According to official government records, 90% of Somali households with children are on federal welfare. The real number is probably 100% because federal records always undercount. So you're talking about a population that has been imported into Minnesota, in which virtually every single member of that population is receiving welfare from the federal government. This could very well end up being the greatest financial fraud scandal in American history.
And I reemphasize, every dollar that went into the fraud and went to the scammers was money that did not go for American citizens who deserved it and had paid for it. Every dollar. And that is a staggering number that 90% of the Somalia community has been involved in this in one fashion or another. And you got Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman. Oh, we're doing everything right. I stand by what we did. You can't make this stuff up. Coming up, our Mideast expert from the Heritage Foundation on, as we were discussing earlier, the Iranian regime. Is it beginning to crumble and fall apart, as suggested by former CIA director and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo? We told you about the water shortage in Tehran. Massive story. We'll look at that as well. And our story behind the story, Captain Kangaroo, things you did not know. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you hear that song and you don't get riled up with U.S. patriotic spirit, you're dead, or you're anti-American. Which is it? Brent Sadler joins us. He's with the Heritage Foundation as a foreign expert, 26 years in the U.S. Navy before that. Brent, welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you for having me on today.
Well, I want to get your opinion on Mike Pompeo wrote a column about the Iranian regime, and I'm reading his remarks, is in dire straits thanks to decisive actions of President Trump, the state of Israel. The Islamic Republic is no longer the regional power it once was. It faces crisis on every front. Your thought?
Well, the important thing is we need to make sure it stays that way. And certainly we got a lot of partners in the Middle East that want to keep that the way that situation also. So like Saudi Arabia is a rising partner and very concerned about Iran. But again, we got to keep them on their back foot.
You know, to that extent, they point out that crisis on every front for Iran, the military infrastructure seriously degraded. The nuclear program, according to Pompeo, seriously, severely decimated, and the proxies throughout the Middle East disintegrating. That all sounds good for the people of Iran, much less the world.
Well, the eventual decision about whether this theocratic dictatorship continues in Tehran or they take a path toward some form of pluralistic democratic movement, it's really up to the Iranian people. And there's reason to hope for that. Just about half the population does not like this regime. They never did. They're more Western or liberal, like in an economic sense, kind of leaning than they are towards this religious, theocratic kind of system they've been suffering under. So there's reason to hope, but it's got to be the Iranian people that choose it. And certainly back to your point about the preventing Iran from rearming and reasserting its network of malign influence across the Middle East. It's going to require doing things like we saw the interception of a ship from China carrying rocket parts for Iran to reconstitute its ballistic missiles after they launched so many at Israel this past summer. And of course, keeping a close eye and, you know, taking active measures against the Iranian IRGC if they try to reconnect with Hezbollah in Lebanon, they try to rebuild the Houthis in Yemen and attack shipping again. And there is a connection to all this in Venezuela. The IRGC, the Iranians, are in Venezuela as well.
Yeah. Now, that's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up. The situation in Iran, obviously the mullahs are in control, continue to run it. And there are reports of defections inside the military. Some of them going so far as to post on their social media, and a couple have already disappeared. You know, they just were rounded up and gone. So fighting against this regime is not like sitting back and saying, I can say what I want and get away. You will not. You put your head on the chopping block.
Absolutely. I mean, this regime remembers how they came to power through a series of protests across the nation, agitation, and they used a fire that killed a bunch of people in a movie theater in 77-78 to rally up the popular support against the regime. So they're going to suppress any hint of dissatisfaction. You certainly see the way they've treated the protesters and women not wearing the hijab. So, you know, there is no limit to the cruelty of this theocratic regime.
On that point again, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State and CIA director, said the Iranians do not want a theocracy or monarchy, just as you were saying. They want a republic that is free, democratic, accountable to the citizens.
Absolutely. Yes, there's been a government in exile of sorts, and the Iranian diaspora in the United States and in Europe is actually very well financed. They've made lots of money in industry and in trade. So they have the means and they have the networks. They just need to be unified, and there has to be a popular uprising moment in Iran like there was in 79, unfortunately, when Khomeini came in from Iraq back into Tehran and triggered the revolution. So there needs to be kind of like a similar moment. But again, it's the Iranian people that have to decide when that moment is. And certainly the United States can set the context and the conditions to ensure that there's no other interference from outside.
Mike Pompeo addressed that very issue. He said Iran's organized pro-democracy movement has the capacity, popular support, a systemic plan to replace the morbid, murderous, mullah-crazy government with the will of the Iranian people. They need positive change, and they have a credible blueprint. But, of course, who's going to take the first step out?
That's the key question. We saw with the Green Movement, which was a popular protest back during Obama's presidency, that looked like it could have been the spark or the trigger. But Iran was, I think, too strong, too willing to use force, and there wasn't really a united front outside in the West to try to cut Iran off. I mean, this was the same year, 2015, when the nuclear deal was being sealed and flushed a lot of cash into the regime. So hopefully we don't relive that mistake and keep the pressure on the regime so that the popular movement, the popular will of the Iranian people can be answered in a new form of government.
Yeah, an Obama administration shipped plane loads of cash back into Iran. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Brent Sadler. He's with the Heritage Foundation, served our Navy for 26 years. Thank you for your service. One other thing here, reference what happens now, what the U.S. should or should not do. We don't want to get into nation building. We don't want to put U.S. troops there. Mm-hmm. What do we do, just stand back and watch, or do we go intel agents?
Well, we definitely don't just do nothing. That is a recipe for disaster. That would basically give consent to the Iranian regime, as the Obama administration did before, to crack down and round up and murder people simply for voicing their popular discontent with the government. But I think the key thing I'll keep saying is it's really up to the Iranian people. What the United States should do is to ensure that there's pressure on the regime, sanctions, cutting them off from any military support from outside, say the Chinese or the Russians, so that they can't have the forces and the resources to suppress their own people anymore. And that doesn't mean going in and doing nation building.
There is a report out of Iran by an American journalist saying a lot of the stuff that's going around inside the Iranian communities, not the leadership, they're dying of thirst. Tehran, 30 million people, now up to 90 million. They don't have their aquifers working. They have no water, basically. And they're talking about we may have to move the capital from Tehran to take care of the people. Mm-hmm. And as he said, what kind of government considers that? They spend all their money on nuclear weapons, not providing water for their people.
Yeah, I mean, theocracies and dictatorships are not known for their city planning and their good engineering when it comes to taking care of the people's basic needs. I think that's case in point. This is not a new problem for Tehran. This has been known for decades. It's just now starting to get to a culminating point, and it's certainly going to add to the political pressure on the regime for sure.
By the way, Israel is investigating a possible Iranian connection to the murder of that MIT nuclear scientist and the shooting at Brown University. They're suggesting that maybe it was a Iranian hit job.
Yeah. Well, it has some of the hallmarks of it. I mean, the guy killed himself in a storage.
Did he kill himself, right?
Well, that's the big question. Yeah. I mean, that's what the police are saying. Yeah. So, trust but verify. But right. I would say the timing, it's Hanukkah, and there was a celebration in Bondi Beach near right. Sydney in Australia, which, again, the father and son duo that did that came in from Pakistan. Again, the Iranian ambassador and three other supposed diplomats were kicked out of Australia for inciting and planning these types of attacks. So I think there's a very solid circumstantial evidence to dig deeper to see if the IRGC, the Iranians, are trying to get revenge for their poor performance and their spanking that they got from the United States as well as the Israelis across the Middle East last summer.
You know, the FBI in L.A. say they busted up a bombing plot to take place on New Year's Eve, and now major New Year's Eve events, New York City, Paris, Tokyo, Belgrade, calling off a lot of events fearing terrorist actions on New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. So they're onto some kind of information network out there. It could be like ISIS and its affiliates all over the world. Lone wolf attacks, which we've seen also just inspired by and enabled through internet or, you know, cyber connections and financing. But nation states, the Iranians have done this before. They, you know, going back long time ago, they bombed a synagogue in Buenos Aires in Argentina and killed many Jews there. So it's not beneath them to kill a lot of innocents to make a political point or a theocratic one anywhere in the world that they get an opportunity. Again, this is why the Australians kicked out the ambassador and three supposed diplomats from the embassy there in Canberra.
I don't know if you've heard that the Australian minister today, prime minister, said, we're going to have a mandated gun buyback program to get the guns out of the citizens of Aussies. They're just opening up more terrorist activity.
Yeah, Australia is still living like if you remember the very woke days in the United States of 2021, yep. 2022, Australia is in that frame of mind still. They have not gotten out of it. So the government there, rather than focusing in on the network and the people that enabled or the people themselves that did this attack and how to go after that, they want to take the guns away from everyone, thinking that will stop repeats. And that's never borne out, certainly not in our experience here in the United States.
No, sir.
And thankfully, we have constitutional amendments to keep it.
Yes, sir. Brent Sadler, Heritage Foundation, I want to thank you for your time and wishing you and your family a most blessed Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Coming up, our story behind the story, Captain Kangaroo and some things you did not know.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him 636-532-1922 or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
I mean, you're never bored. Even you. What a day.
Hey, you two look terrible.
Well, Buddy and I are so bored.
Bored?
Nothing to do.
Nothing to do?
Right.
Hey, you won't believe how many things there are to do. You could go skating in the park, go to the playground, go to an ice cream factory, watch a dog sled race, go up in a balloon, fly a kite.
That music probably put many of you back in your pajamas with the footies on them, watching Captain Kangaroo in the early part of your life. That was part of my life growing up. I'd go with a friend to another friend's house where the mother would serve us breakfast. I don't know why she volunteered, but she did. And we'd sit there and eat our Cheerios and watch Captain Kangaroo until it was time to actually leave for school. And, of course, on summers and so forth, and school out, we spent a lot of time watching Captain Kangaroo. That show aired from 1955 to 1984, the longest-running children's program on a commercial network. 6,000-plus episodes, more than even Sesame Street. All hosted and conceived by Bob Keeshan, who played that title character, Captain Kangaroo. And he had these deep pockets in his jacket. That's why he was called Captain Kangaroo. And, of course, Mr. Green Jeans and all the rest of them came around. He heard Mr. Moose complaining, but there's nothing to do. And many kids were that. And he said, go out and play. Here is a guy that had a TV program telling children, get away from the TV. Go out and play. You got other things you could do. That was just one of the issues that Bob Keeshan was pushing back on and trying to help children in their growth years. It was the longest-running American network children's teleprogram until 1997 when Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood surpassed it, which was in turn surpassed by Sesame Street. But again, Captain Kangaroo, still far and away the longest-running children's TV series, again with the episode count more than 6,000 episodes. And it all began, as I say, with Bob Keeshan when he was age 28.
Bob Keeshan played the beloved children's entertainer Captain Kangaroo for decades, but off camera, he sometimes engaged in pranks with Mr. Green Jeans that would have shocked the children. Not only did Bob Keeshan serve in the United States Marines towards the end of World War II, although the war ended before he saw combat, he was already a veteran of children's television when Captain Kangaroo launched. By the show's debut in 1955, Keeshan had already spent several years performing as various clowns on TV. It was on the Howdy Doody show that Keeshan accidentally found himself on screen for the first time, a cue card boy for the show. He wandered in front of the cameras and was promptly put in a clown costume, the only outfit immediately on hand. Man by the producer. He took to it well, developing himself into the character Claribel by 1948. Famous Clowns reports that Keeshan was summarily fired in 1950 because he couldn't play a musical instrument. The show's audience of kids didn't like the replacement Claribel, however, and Keeshan was quickly rehired into the role before being fired a second time in 1952, right around Christmas. Keeshan went on to play Corny the Clown on a show called Time for Fun in 1953. And later that year, Keeshan was cast in another children's program, Tinker the Toy Maker. So when Captain Kangaroo hit TV screens on October 3rd, 1955, Keeshan was an old hand at children's television.
He was an old hand. That is credited to Grunge episodes dealing with the early career of Bob Keeshan and Captain Kangaroo. Again, at that time, that was a program that captivated children. I mean, it was something for them to watch in the morning, all good, clean fun. Now, you heard them allude to the fact that Keeshan would do a lot of unsavory jokes and pranks with Mr. Green Jeans. One of the stories is, of course, off camera, this is the way he kind of did things with him, Mr. Green Jeans. Apparently, he exposed himself in front of Mr. Green Jeans just to watch his reaction. Not good for children's TV. But no one ever knew about it. There was an interview done with Keeshan by Peter Holder, the Stoof Radio Files, and talking about those early days.
Before we went on the air, before when we set up the call, I have to admit to our audience, I gushed a little bit because I grew up watching Captain Kangaroo. Do you find when you go out in public, you come across 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, who even older, who still think of you as the captain and revert to their childhood when they meet you?
Well, I don't know whether they revert to their childhood, but what they are, of course, is a good deal more articulate than they were when they were experiencing the program. And they are able now to express, in retrospect, their views. They recall these experiences. And for most, they were very happy experiences, happy days. And for many, I've had the expression that their childhood was not particularly nice, that they were neglected or perhaps even abused or worse, and their home was not as happy as it should be, and that I constituted something of an oasis for them, a father-child relationship that they didn't have in real life. And it's very poignant when people express themselves that way, but I'm happy that I was able to do some positive work of that sort.
And Keeshan admitted that he kind of wanted a grandfather figure for these kids. And it did give them, as he said, an oasis and maybe an escape from their real life, because acknowledging many of those kids were not growing up in happy homes. So he was trying to bring light to them, joy. He got asked about a question about a decision CBS was going to do, that was to cancel Captain Kangaroo.
Was that difficult when CBS finally said, that's it?
Oh, no, that had been coming for a very long time. It was certainly not anything sudden. There's this syndrome at networks that they've got to compete head-on with the same kind of programming that the other networks are programming at that particular time and that particular hour. And there's no common sense factor to it. It's insane. But, when the chairman at CBS Broadcasting said, do we want to be number one in the morning? I said, you are number one in the morning. You're serving families and children. And he said, no, I mean, I want to compete with the Today Show, and I want to compete with Good Morning America, and we're going to do it. Of course, that was 10 years ago, and they're still trying to catch up, and they still have not got the audience size that I had, if that's the game you want to play. But, it's very difficult to talk to show business executives. They're really a breed of apart, and they don't have the same standards that the people, the families who are being served by television or not served by television. Those standards are quite different.
In that 1995 interview with Peter Holder, they also talked about Keeshan's views of children's TV and parents just letting the children prop down in front of the TV and do nothing else. So that's more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. Not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Well, I don't think that in the United States we've done anything that really we can be very proud of in the commercial sector, certainly. Our public broadcasting system does pretty well with Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and Barney, that purple dinosaur that so many parents seem to be irritated by. But I often remind parents that the program was not made for them. It was made for children. And even though as a producer I might add more to it and make it a little more complex a program, it still is a benign program with good values. In the commercial sector, we have some very, very significant problems. We allow broadcasters and advertisers to exploit children, which is not done really anywhere else in the world, because most societies believe that the children are their most precious asset and represent the future of their nation. So we in our early childhood programs outside of television, for example, in child care centers and in schools, we'll always say to children as early as 2 years of age, when you meet with controversy, use your words. Use your words to solve problems. And then we think nothing as parents of turning them over to the Power Rangers, who are the good guys, no question about that, who are saying use your fists, and use karate and violence and other ways to solve problems. And that message is not lost on 4-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. And I think that the cumulative effect of programs like that, solving problems with violence, is showing up in our society in rather disturbing ways.
That is, again, an interview Bob Keeshan gave to Peter Holder in 1995. And that issue about children's violence, he would not allow, and they wanted him to promote a toy gun. And Captain Kangaroo, Keeshan said, not on my program.
There'll always be Power Rangers because the people who produce Power Rangers are not sitting down initially and saying, how may we nurture children? How may we help children? They're saying, how can we make a lot of money? Yeah. And whether it's Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers, and there'll be another one right following it, we're sure of that. We don't have the right attitude toward producing programming for children. And what really is important, but is the end user, if you will, is the parent. The parent who blithely says, well, I don't care what my kids are watching. Now, most parents would deny saying that, but whether they explicitly say, go watch television and it's violence, or they implicitly say, I'm tired, go watch television, and not supervise the programming that children watch, the result is the same. You know, it's a medium that seems to have escaped in the United States parental supervision. We would never think of sending our children out in the snow without the proper clothing, and we would never tell them go play in traffic.
And in fact, Keeshan was a strong advocate against video game violence as well. Took part in congressional hearings in 1993, joined with parents groups protesting children's TV shows based on toys that would turn into violence. And he also lashed out at parents.
The reason the Power Rangers are successful is because there are millions of parents who are allowing their children to watch unthinkingly or thinkingly, and therefore it perpetuates itself. So it's a parental responsibility. No matter what government in the United States or anywhere else does to enforce standards, children are going to be watching inappropriate television. Most children in America, when they're watching inappropriate television, are watching adult television. You know, the talk shows and the Oprahs and the Donahues, and they're watching Grandma and the working in the strip joint, and they're watching cross dressers and all kinds of material that certainly we would think is inappropriate for children to view, but parents simply don't seem to intervene in that program selection process that's critical.
Keeshan's remarks in 1995. He died January 23, 2004, at the age of 76. Bob Keeshan obviously had a big impact upon children, multiple generations, actually, and it was all for the good. There was a story circulating for a period of time that Lee Marvin had started, that he and Keeshan fought together at Battle of Iwo Jima in 1945. Both were in the Marines. Marvin was involved in some action, but not at Iwo Jima. Bob Keeshan never was in a war zone, though he had signed up with the Marines. And many of you might recall, if you stop and think about it, his connections to St. Louis. He had a daughter living here at one point. And he also, in 1997, starred as a wizard in the St. Louis Muni outdoor theater production, The Wizard of Oz. Captain Kangaroo. Generations growing up watching him. Good, clean fun for children. Sesame Street built upon that. But Captain Kangaroo put a lot of it in motion. And so did Mr. Rogers. But then came all the produced Power Rangers and things of that nature, pushing violence and pushing other toys that would create violence. He pushed back against toy guns. He did endorse Schwinn bicycles. One of his head writers left to start Sesame Street. And eventually the program came to an end when CBS decided to cancel it. Captain Kangaroo. Born 1927, passed 2004. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help. On Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check VincentsJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson and asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.